We want to welcome you to the midweek service tonight. We're thankful for your presence with us. We pray we'll know the Lord's hand on the meeting this evening. We're turning to 637, hymn 637, as we commence the meeting. Here from the world we turn, Jesus to seek. Here may his loving voice tenderly speak. So 637, we'll stand to sing, please. Heavenly Father, we approach thee in prayer, thankful that we're able to be in the meeting this evening. Thankful for the opportunity, as we've just sung together, to turn aside from all the things of this life, all the things of this world, and spend this little while in your presence, gathered together in thy house. And especially, Father, more importantly, we rejoice that we can gather together in thy presence. We can sit for a little while at your feet. I want to pray, Father, for your hand of blessing to be upon this meeting from the very beginning. I want to pray that you'll still and set our hearts. We want to pray, Father, that even now that you'll prepare us for this meeting, we think just of all that we've been engaged in today, so many matters that have filled our hearts and minds. So we want to pray, Father, as we come into your house, that you'll enable us just to leave all of those things to the side for this time. We pray that you'll shut out the world and all the business of it. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us to shut the door on those things. Remember that you've said we'd enter into the closet and shut the door and pray to our Father which is in secret. And Lord, as we come into this prayer room, this prayer closet tonight, we pray that you'll enable us to shut the door on all of those things. And we pray, Father, that we'll be conscious that you're here and that we're gathered here in your presence tonight. Lord, we would plead that you'll come We ask that you'll be with us tonight. We plead that you'll be in our midst. We pray that you'll grant us a meeting where the Lord's presence is known and sensed by all that are gathered. Lord, what encouragement that is to come to the meetings and to want to be at the services, just to know that we're coming to meet with the Lord himself. Give us, Father, a very definite, even a fresh realization that we're entering into your presence in prayer, that we're coming before the throne of the universe, the throne of the one who is the sovereign God of all the universe. Lord, help us to be mindful tonight that we come to the one who is the Almighty, that what you've promised in your word you're able also to perform. We want to pray that we'll know and experience something of your power in this service tonight. We thank you for giving each of us a burden to be here and that desire to be at the prayer meeting. We ask, Father, that that's a desire that we might never lose. We pray that even as the years go by, that it will deepen and strengthen in our hearts. Father, we want to pray that you'll renew and impress upon us the importance of the prayer meeting of the church as we seek thee for your blessing. Your word exhorts us that it's time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. We're conscious, Father, that that is the need of the hour in the days in which we're found. We plead that you will pour out your Spirit upon us tonight. We pray, Father, bless us in this meeting. Bless every brother and sister. We pray that not one would go from the service tonight without knowing the blessing of God. And Lord, we want to pray, lead us on just a little further with yourself. We pray, Father, we want to ask that you'll encourage us on in our walk with thee. Give some in the service tonight even the help, the grace that is needed to pray in this gathering. Lord, as we come to pour out our souls before thee, we plead, Father, as we look to the future of this work, we want to pray, Father, that the future of this work will be one of great blessing, great usefulness and fruitfulness in the service of Christ. We want to pray, Father, that as a congregation we'll be used mightily in this city and in this community. Lord, even as some have prayed this week already, we thank you for the past and the blessings of the past, for times when the Lord came in special ways and moved and many souls were saved. And Lord, we acknowledge tonight that we need thee to come again in such a way. Some of us, Father, have never known such times of blessing when scores of people were been brought to Christ at the one time. Lord, we ask that you will come and bless us again in that manner. We pray, Father, that you'll come in mighty power. We pray that you'll come in the fullness of your Spirit even upon us. We pray, Father, that we might live and see this city shaken and moved for God, and a great work done. Father, do hear what you did in Thessalonica those many years ago. It says that these that turned the world upside down have come hither also. And Lord, we think of the world in which we're found. And we think, Father, of a day when right is seen to be wrong and wrong is seen to be right. And our world is the wrong way round. It's upside down. And it needs a move of God. It needs to feel the power of God, the power of the gospel once again. So we plead with thee, Father, to come and do that amongst us. We pray, come into this prayer meeting tonight with the breath of God. Father, we pray that you'll do something different, do something new, even amongst us in our gathering this evening. Give us help around the word of God. Pray it will be a word for this time, a word for this meeting, a word for all that are gathered. Lord, let it be that word in season to each one that is present tonight. And may the Spirit of God be upon the ministry tonight. And we pray that you'll speak through it. We ask all these things, all these are petitions, in Jesus' name. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter 2. Reading together at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're beginning at the 9th verse. And we'll read to the close of the chapter. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's hear the Lord's word to our hearts tonight. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoured the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Ending there this evening at the close of the chapter. And we pray the Lord will follow with his blessing this, the reading of his word. The 18th verse is our text tonight. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. The words there right at the end of the verse, a solemn reminder of the work, the activity of the devil, but Satan hindered us. We're going to think tonight about how the devil attacks the prayer meetings, how he attacks the prayer meetings of the church. Something we need to be aware of, something as the Lord's people we need to consider. The Bible says we ought not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Remember the little verse that says, the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. The devil doesn't like Christians to pray. The devil doesn't like the Lord's people to attend the prayer meeting. Let me remind you of that and impress that upon your hearts. So as a result of that, the devil will do all that he can to keep you away from the prayer meeting of the church. He will make that the busiest night of the week. He will make that the night of all nights to be full of all sorts of problems and all sorts of challenges. And even when you do come to the prayer meeting, he'll want to attack you in the meeting. He'll want to disrupt the meeting or disrupt your thoughts and your minds. He'll want to make the meeting hard. He'll want to make it difficult. And his reason for doing that, of course, is he wants to discourage you from coming, attending, being a regular attender. He will want to discourage you from coming back again to the midweek service, to the prayer meeting of the church. Paul says here, Satan hindered us. That's a solemn thought. That is true of the work of God generally. It's good to recognize that. But remember, it's especially true of the prayer meeting. If there's one meeting in the church the devil will want to hinder, it's when the Lord's people gather together to pray. Remember the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, it says that Joshua the high priest stood before the Lord. He was standing before the Lord in the very presence of God. In other words, he was praying. But it says, but Satan was at his right hand to resist him. So the same is true, brethren and sisters, of this meeting. That those passages are drawing back the veil a little for us on the spiritual activity that is going on all around us, the great spiritual struggle and battle in which we are engaged. The same is true of this meeting. Satan is at our right hand to resist us. Satan will want to hinder us in this gathering tonight. Let me tell you some of the ways. Let me set out for you some of the ways in which the devil will want to hinder, want to attack the prayer meeting of the church. The first is your thoughts. Remember, the Bible has a lot to say about the mind, about the thoughts, especially the mind and the thoughts of the child of God. And the book of Philippians especially is a book that deals with the thoughts of the Christian. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. We're to be like Christ, not just in our actions and in our words, but in our thoughts, in our mental outlook, our mental attitude as well. Isn't it true that our thoughts can be a problem generally? There are quite a number of Christians that struggle with their thoughts, struggle with bad thoughts in their minds. Well, that's especially true when you come to the prayer meeting. So I want to remind you, brethren and sisters, the devil can attack the thoughts of the child of God. Acts chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. The scriptures specifically tell us, why hath Satan filled thine heart? So who was it that put that idea, the plans that Ananias and Sapphira put into place at that time, who was it that put it into their mind? It was the devil. It was the devil that gave them the idea, that they allowed Satan to fill their minds, their hearts at that time. So that's something that we need to be very, very careful about as the Lord's people. Remember, the problem can be sometimes with worried thoughts. Come to the prayer meeting filled with worry, concern, anxious, anxiety filling our hearts and minds. So sometimes the problem's worried thoughts. At other times in the prayer meeting, in church in general, the problem is wandering thoughts, keeping your attention fixed on the meeting, on the word of God, on what has been said, what is taking place. Our minds can drift away off. Something we were doing today, something we have to attend to when we go home, something we have to engage in tomorrow. At other times the problem is wicked thoughts. You know, those thoughts that come into our hearts and minds that are displeasing to the Lord. We don't need to give graphic examples, you know, just what we're speaking about there, the wicked thoughts that at times can come into the mind even of the child of God. And then there's what we can describe as waning thoughts. That's when we're a wee bit forgetful. There's things we want to remember when we come to the meetings. There's things and there's people we want to pray for. We want to plead with the Lord for that person or for that matter, that problem. But when we come to the place of prayer, it happens in private as well, but it especially happens in the public prayer meeting, our thoughts wane, they dwindle. We forget the matters that we should present before the Lord. That's sometimes where we practical things, just like writing out a list, can be of help to us. So how do you deal with those attacks upon your thoughts? Well, whenever you're praying privately, sometimes people pray out loud. I think perhaps in the past that might have been something that was done more than maybe it's done today. Praying out loud, it helps to concentrate, it helps to focus your thoughts on what you're doing, on the prayers that you're offering. It keeps your mind from wandering. But let me mention some other things to you. Think of the selection, the choice of what actually goes into your mind in the first place. Whenever you're dealing with evil thoughts, we all need to be careful about what actually goes into our mind, what we allow to enter into our mind. For example, what you read, what you watch. Remember, you can't watch programs that are full of sin. You can't read magazines that are full of rubbish and then think that your mind will be pure. Think that your mind will be free from evil ideas. Think that you're going to have a mind that is prepared and ready to pray and seek the face of God, because the devil will want to bring all of those things back into your heart and mind at that time. The New Testament says, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. Remember, those words again are found in the book of Philippians. It's another example from that epistle of Paul dealing with the mind, the thoughts of the child of God. Something else just to highlight briefly is the Spirit. Remember, the Spirit of God helps our memory. The Spirit of God is our remembrancer. The Spirit of God brings things again to our remembrance at a time like this, when we're gathered together to seek the face of God. The Savior taught us that when he was here on earth. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Savior is revealing to us there one of the ministries, one of the works, one of the roles of the Spirit of God. He's our remembrancer. So we need to pray for the Spirit to come into our meetings. What a difference a Holy Ghost prayer meeting is when the Holy Ghost is resting upon his people. So pray that the Spirit will come upon us tonight. Something else to keep in mind is the soldier, the Christian is a soldier. And God has provided the armour for the Christian soldier. We read about that in Ephesians chapter 6. It's interesting when you study the Christian armour, there's nothing for the back of the Christian. The lesson there is we're never to retreat in the work of God. There's to be no going back. You're never to turn your back upon the enemy. As the words of that great hymn says, he has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call a retreat. So there's nothing for the back of the Christian, but there is something for the head. And that's in keeping with our subject or what we're thinking of, the mind, the thoughts of the child of God. There's something for the head. The Lord has provided the helmet. The helmet guards our mind. It guards our thoughts from all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So remember the manner in which you get the armour. Each piece, as the hymn writer said, put on by prayer. We need to ask the Lord for the armour. We need to ask the Lord for the helmet. Maybe you never thought about praying for the Christian armour when you come to the prayer meeting. Remember that this is not a playground, it's a battleground. There's maybe no time that we need the armour more than when we're in the prayer meeting of the church. So that's one way the devil attacks. The devil seeks to hinder the child of God in the place of prayer, and especially the prayer meeting, through their thoughts. Think as well of a matter of tiredness. There are times we can be overcome. There's times we can be overcome with tiredness. And that seems to hit us all the more when we come to the Lord's house, when we come to a meeting. It is possible to fall asleep in a church meeting. And the meeting over then, before you know it. And the result of that, of course, is you don't benefit from the meeting. You don't profit. You don't receive the blessing from that meeting that you'd have liked to have received. Remember, that's nothing new. Falling asleep in the meetings is nothing new. Happened in Bible times as well. Think of the story of Eutychus. Remember, he was in a deep sleep. The Bible says he fell out of the window. He fell down from the third loft. And they thought he was dead. He slept in the meeting. Well, why was that? Well, there was a number of reasons. For one thing, it was a late meeting. Remember, the Bible says that Paul preached long, preached to midnight. And remember, to his young age, a young man in the meeting at such a late hour. And another thing that that passage highlights is the fact there was very poor ventilation in the building where they were meeting together. It was a loft. And the passage says there was many lights. You think of the lights burning, using up all of the oxygen in that area. So Eutychus, a very well-known example of a young man that fell asleep in the meeting and the consequences of it for him. But remember too the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember the Saviour? It says he went a little farther. What a challenge that is. May the Lord encourage us just to go a little further with him. Go a little further with him this year. Go a little further with him tonight. Even in the prayer meeting. Remember, he was in the place of prayer. He went a little farther and he cast himself down and he prayed. And then he came to the disciples. Remember, he had taken the inner circle, Peter, James and John. And he found them asleep. It says their eyes were heavy. I'm sure you've had that experience yourself sometimes. Maybe it's how you feel just now at this moment. But just think of it. Peter, James and John, those mighty apostles, and they show just how human they were. The best of men are only men at the best. They slept in the prayer meeting of the church. And think of it. They slept in a prayer meeting with the Saviour, the Lord Jesus. They slept at a time of prayer with the Saviour on the very eve of his crucifixion. It's hard to take it in, isn't it? It's incredible just to think that that could happen. So sleep can be a problem. It can be a big problem. In the most significant of prayer meetings, it can be a big problem. It can rob you of the blessing. And that's especially true, some of the men might be familiar with, the late nights of prayer. Starting to pray late, praying well into the night. That can be a struggle just trying to keep the eyes open, to keep yourself from sleeping. So how do you deal with it? Well, think of some practical things. Oswald J. Smith, the famous Canadian pastor, when he was praying privately, to help him overcome that tiredness, the tired feeling, he would walk up and down. He would walk up and down in the room where he was praying, praying out loud, praying out audibly, publicly. Obviously, we can't all do that here in the meeting tonight. But remember that sleep at the right time, adequate sleep at night, maybe we top up during the day, the power nap, as they talk about, that can help us all. In life generally, but especially when you come to the meeting, the meetings of the church. But remember, a spiritual thing, that's a practical matter, the adequate sleep, but the spiritual thing is the power of the Spirit, the power of God coming upon us. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the comment that is made is the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The very fact that you're here tonight in this meeting, your spirit is willing. You have that willingness, that desire to be in the place of prayer, to be at the prayer meeting. That's a good desire. May the Lord bless every one of you for it. But we all are faced with the challenge of the weakness of the flesh. And the way to overcome that weakness, brethren and sisters, is not on our own strength. Some are physically more strong than others, depending on health and age and all of those things. But the way to overcome that weakness spiritually is by the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. So we need to pray for the Spirit. The Bible clearly says that the Lord will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So the Spirit, the power of the Spirit in our lives is there for the asking. It's something the Lord wants us to plead with Him for. So how does the devil attack or hinder the prayer meeting? Well, our thoughts, tiredness. The other one that I'll mention tonight is the tongue. Remember that there is the wrong use of the tongue. The wrong use of the tongue is to murmur, like the children of Israel did in the wilderness, to lie, to deceive, as Ananias and Sapphira did in Acts chapter 5. Another wrong use of the tongue is bad language. Hard to imagine it, but some Christians still do use bad language after conversion. Peter's a very clear scriptural example of that, oaths and curses. Can you imagine that? The foremost of the apostle denying Christ with such bad language. Sad when that happens in the life of the Christian. The tongue, brethren and sisters, is given to us for other uses. We're to use it to praise the Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great cause to praise the night and praise the Lord this evening. Take the opportunity to do that in the meeting. But not only is the tongue given for praise, it's given to proclaim. To proclaim Christ, to proclaim His word, to proclaim the message of the gospel, the good news of what He has done for sinners. The Lord wants us to be a witness for Him. Remember, I've emphasized to you before, Henry Varley, that the evangelist said there was three ways that every Christian should witness for the Lord. And one is the lips, the other is the life, and the third he mentioned was with literature, gospel literature. And we want to encourage you, use your lips to proclaim Christ, the message of the gospel. The other thing that we should use the tongue for as the Lord's people is to pray, to call upon the Lord, to seek His face at the throne of grace. Let me point out one of the chief reasons why we can speak, if not the chief reason, is to speak to God so that we can communicate with the Almighty Himself. You know, it's a strange thing, isn't it? Just consider it for a moment. It's strange, we have no difficulty using our tongue at any other time except when we come to pray. We always seem to have a difficulty in using our tongue in talking to the Lord. We need to ask the Lord to give us help to overcome that. Think of what William Cowper penned in his hymn, "Have you no words? I think again. Words flow apace when you complain and fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent to heaven in supplications sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, 'Hear what the Lord hath done for me.'" If you think of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, do you remember that he'd been dumb for a time during the pregnancy of his wife Elizabeth? The Bible actually says that when the Lord gave him back his speech, his tongue was loosed. And you know, brethren and sisters, that's what we need. That's what we need as Christians. We need to have our tongues loosed again. Loosed to speak of the things of God. Loosed so that we can plead in the place of prayer. So that we can present our petitions in the prayer meeting of the church. Pray the Lord will do that for you tonight. That He'll loose your tongue just to get your mouth open in this prayer meeting. The special seasons of prayer, these extra nights as they come to a close this evening. Ask the Lord to loose your tongue that you can get your mouth open tonight just to say a few words before the Lord at at the throne of grace. You know, there's nothing helps a prayer meeting more than a new voice. Hearing someone pray, perhaps for the first time, or maybe pray for the first time for quite some time. Can I assure you tonight, we'd like to hear your voice in this meeting. I want to encourage you to pray in the prayer meeting this evening. If you think of the question, why is it that sometimes, why is it so often that we are tongue-tied in the prayer meeting of the church? One of the reasons is intimidation. We can be easily intimidated. We ought not to be. We ought not to be intimidated by those that are around us in such a meeting as this. But sometimes we're intimidated because of the way others pray. That they pray so well. They pray so fluently. They pray at such great length at times. And that intimidates us. We don't feel as capable or as adequate to pray in such a manner. Another reason why we're tongue-tied in the prayer meeting is apprehension. We can be afraid. The Lord says, "Fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee." The Lord will help you to pray. "And I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I remember the first time I prayed in a prayer meeting such as this, down in the Cookstown Church when I was studying at Locker Agricultural College, shaking as I prayed that night. Times can still be very nervous, even praying in public in meetings after all of these years. That's a good thing, by the way, that little bit of nervousness. It keeps us leaning on the Lord, trusting in Him. There's nothing worse than self-confidence getting to the place where we're full of ourselves and we think we don't need the Lord. We don't need His help anymore, any further. Remember, you're coming tonight to talk to your Father, your gracious, compassionate, merciful, loving Heavenly Father. So you shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be apprehensive in talking to your Heavenly Father. Some things to encourage you as you come to pray tonight. Brevity. Don't need to pray long prayers. We discourage long prayers. The Bible discourages long prayers in the public place. Remember, there are two things that kill prayer meetings: long prayers and long pauses. So we encourage you with that tonight. You don't have to pray a long prayer. Just a few words. Fervency as well. That's something to encourage you. It's not fluency that's the most important thing. Sometimes we get that wrong. The Bible doesn't say that the effectual fluent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It says the effectual fervent prayer. It's the pouring out of your heart. Even if your lips are stumbling and stammering and you just can't get the words the way you want. It's the fervency. We've emphasized the heart in every one of these meetings during this week. And then urgency. That should encourage us to pray as well. There's so many that need our prayers. So many in the church. So many in our families. So many in this city and community. Remember, all around us there are souls that are lost, still out of Christ. There's great urgency, brethren and sisters, to be pleading at the throne of grace. And the other one is, think of the mighty God that we come to. He's the Almighty, the omnipotent God, no limits to His power. There's nothing. It's hard to take that in. There's so many things that are impossible for us, but there's nothing that's too hard for God. Nothing with Him is impossible. So just in closing, remember, Satan wants to hinder this church and its witness. Satan wants to hinder the prayer meetings of this church. He wants to hinder this prayer meeting tonight. So I urge you not to allow him. Let's stand fast. Let's resist the devil. Let's be more than conquerors. Let's get the victory in this prayer meeting tonight. May the Lord enable us to do that by His grace and by His power. We're going to sing 634 in keeping with our theme.